All right, everyone. Well, we are going to go ahead and get started with our little youth panel here. We're going to start just with some introductions. So I'm going to have each student will say your name, and then where you're from, and then what grade in school you're going into. So name, where you're from, what grade of school you're going into. We'll have you start.
Hi guys, my name is Micah. I'm going into my junior year of high school at Temecula Valley High School in Temecula, California.
Nice.
I'm Tessa, I live in Washington, and I'm going into my freshman year.
I'm Emma, I live in Glendale, and I'm going into sophomore year.
My name's Nathan, and I'm gonna be a junior this year.
Where are you from?
Oakdale High.
Nice.
Public.
Cool. So before we start with questions, we'll do two quick things. First is just kind of the hope and kind of the expectation of what this time's going to be like. If you guys have questions, feel free to raise your hands. Just say it. It's a small enough group. We can talk over each other a little bit. And you can either ask students directly or just ask the group in general. Our only hope is that in this situation, in this context, nothing that any of the students say is wrong because they're just sharing their experience and their perspective. I know I have the tendency personally with my personality of like, I'm like a corrector. It's a bad habit, but even if maybe they say something we disagree with, they aren't wrong because they're just sharing their perspective and they're sharing their experiences with us. So if you're like me and have the tendency to correct a little bit or say, but don't you mean this, is like, well, they don't because they're sharing their perspective and their experiences with us, and it really is a gift. And so before we get started, I'm just gonna pray for our time together and then we can get rolling with some questions. So God, we just thank you for this time, and we thank you for these students who have courageously stepped up to be able to be a part of this youth panel, God. I pray that you bring questions to our hearts and answers to the minds of these students, God. I pray that this be an experience that we learn from and really grow from, God, in whether it be ministry or just parenting or just perspective, God, that we're able to learn more and grow through hearing these wonderful students that you've brought to the table for us, God. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so who would like to break the ice and ask the first question? Jason's one of our AV guys. He was just checking the sound.
What apps do you guys use the most to text message to your friends?
For iPhone, it's called iMessage, and so with that, if you have unlimited data, you can communicate to Android or iPhone. But if kids don't have like a SIM card, then they kind of just use like Instagram or Snapchat to kind of communicate through text messages, direct message.
So would you guys use Instagram for text
messaging? Personally, I use Snapchat more, but that's just me. But I also use Instagram and iMessage.
I bounce between using Instagram and iMessage most of the time to communicate.
I have a question. Sorry, I have many questions. What is the one question that you wish your parents would not ask you or ask you when you come home from school?
What did you learn? Because most of the time I don't remember. And I just want to go home and take a nap, so.
I get the what did you learn question, but then I get like explain it, and I'm like, I don't want to explain it. That takes too much brain power that I do not have anymore. I already went to school for the day. I definitely prefer being with my friends, but at points, like if you're talking about your homework and you're at your own separate houses, it's nice to be able to talk to them without being with them. And like if they don't live near you, it's nice to be able to talk to them even though you can't see them.
Personally, I'm a slow texter. I just don't prefer it that much. And you can't really like express your tones or like emotions, I think. And so personally, I like to use FaceTime. It's just more natural for me and kind of eye contact and see their mood. But if I'm in class and just a quick test message, I'll do it. But if I'm planning having a long conversation, I'd prefer FaceTime if that's available for them. But I think a lot of us just prefer text message because it's easier. So.
Especially if you don't have a car or your friends don't live next to you or you don't have your license, you can't really all the time be face-to-face with your friends. But definitely, like, I wouldn't sit at lunch and text my friends when they're 10 feet away from me rather than talking to their face. I prefer talking to their face.
I like to have something going on in the background, but I often put my phone like 10 feet away from me, so I'm not tempted to like text my friend about something that's not homework, because I know I will. And so I either like give it to my parents or put it somewhere else, because I know I won't pay attention to what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, when you try to sit down and do your homework and you have your phone right next to you and your friend texts you, I'll stop doing my homework and respond to my friend, and then I'll get sidetracked because I'll start looking through my feed on Instagram or whatever it is, and I'll start scrolling through, and then I'm like, oh, I need to do my homework, and then I'll set my phone back down, and I'll do homework again for like another 10, 20 minutes, and then my phone will go off again, and it just kind of, it slows me down a lot.
And it comes through the computer too, doesn't it?
Yeah, but most of the time I don't have my computer on.
Yeah, kind of going off of what Nathan said, actually, my parents' policy for phones and homework is that you get home, you set your phone aside. We have like a kind of like a counter on our desk, and so we do our chosen homework first before we even touch a computer. Unless it's we need the computer for homework, obviously, but our phones are kind of like off limits until we finish our homework. And then it's kind of like there's nothing kind of holding me back. Like text your friend, oh, I have to get back. I'll get back to you. It's like you do your hard stuff first, and then you play after. And so that's kind of been our kind of motto for growing up. So.
But also our phones do help. Like if I have a problem, yeah, for homework, or I have a question on math, I can't, like my teachers are next to me, so I can look up the problem. And like there's a website, there's Khan Academy, there's like a bunch of different websites that can help you with homework that I use sometimes.
I also think that kids should be you can let them have their phone so they can learn self-control. Because if you can't really, it's hard to teach them self-control unless they mess up with their own phone. Because it's their fault if they don't do their homework. It's not really your fault. So it's their problem if they don't do it. And then next time they'll learn, I should probably do my homework. So they can learn to put their phone down.
And then if they don't learn, then maybe you should take some action and take their phone away. But... Bryce, you had a question?
What do you guys, like, what motivates you to know, do what you're supposed to and you don't do your homework? Is it discipline, or is it something that happens when you're doing homework, or is it, you know, something you look forward to? Or...
Looking forward to, like, talking to my friends after.
Yeah, something like that.
And not having any more homework.
What
yeah. Yeah, not having homework for the rest of the night. That's if you get it done fast, then you don't have to worry about it. So that's.
Yeah, like I don't pay attention well. It's just not something I do. So my homework is often like takes hours and hours because I get distracted. So for me, it's like my mom will go, you want to watch Friends and eat ice cream when you're done with your homework, and so I'll finish up my homework, and then we can do something fun like watch Friends and eat ice cream.
Yeah, I think it was drilled in me that I should always do my homework before doing other things, which sometimes I'll do other things, and then it'll be like 9 o'clock at night, and I'm like, oh wait, I still have math homework to do, and I'll finish that. But even if I finish it late, I always finish it, because I get a sense of guilt when I don't do my homework. And some kids don't have that. Like, I'll be sitting in class, and my homework will be done, and I'll, like, turn it in, and I'll look to my friend to the right, and he doesn't have his homework, and he's just sitting there like, whatever, like, I don't care if I don't do my homework. And I'm like, how? Like, how could you not care? Like, it's your grade. And don't you want to, like, go to college or get a better education or do well in school? So that's what kind of...
So we talk so much about technology. Let me ask you, what do you think about kids who don't have smartphones when they're in whatever high school? What's your impression of them?
Well, I mean, sometimes it might be a little bit weird, maybe for our age, just because we're older. But I think it's pretty useful. I mean, sometimes it is distracting, but like my mom likes me to text her like when I get home and stuff like that. But I mean, it's really like the family choice. And some kids I know like don't even want a phone, but that's not as common anymore.
Like phones are so common that when you hear somebody doesn't have a phone, I feel like you kind of jump to conclusions. Like, oh, maybe their family can't pay for it. You kind of jump to conclusions about what their phone, why they don't have a phone. And I wasn't supposed to get a phone until I turned 16, but things happen. Things shift, different reasons. But like not having a phone is almost, it's like, it can either be the kid's choice, like I don't want to be part of social media because they're smart, or it could be their parents' choice, and it's just whatever way their family works, you kind of learn to deal with it, and you talk to them in person instead of over the internet.
Sorry. Also, if the person doesn't have a smartphone, it doesn't really, like, if they have a phone that I can text them on and communicate with them, then that's fine, too, because sometimes we get assigned group projects where we don't get to choose our partners. And I've had partners that don't have smartphones, so I can't, like, FaceTime to communicate with them. I'll just send text messages or I can call them. So smartphones don't, like, they're not that big of an issue if you don't have one, personally.
I definitely don't answer my email just because it's like not as common for my generation. It's just like I look at my other stuff because you get more distracted trolling through those, so you get it more often. But I know that I'll get in trouble if I don't answer my parents, and so I've gone to my settings and I've changed my buzz to be super long for my mom, so it doesn't stop buzzing until I answer her, because I don't want to like miss a text from her or something, because I don't want to get in trouble. Or you can personalize like ringtones and buzzing, and so that's what I've done for like my mom and my dad. So I know when they're texting me, because sometimes I ignore my friends.
And then on the flip side, so there's the ringer on your phone that you can turn on and off. And normally on like a stock iPhone, when the ringer is off, your phone still buzzes when you get a notification from someone. But I found myself, like, in school, I get distracted if there's a buzz. Like, it doesn't matter. It could be any notification from any app I have on my phone. So I turned the buzzing off. So when my ringer is completely off, my phone doesn't vibrate. It doesn't ring. It doesn't do anything. But when it's on, it'll ring and it'll vibrate. And my parents, they call me because that's, like, on iPhone, or they text me on iMessage is, like, the best way to communicate with me, because I'd rather them stay off of social media like Snapchat and Instagram.
Yeah, so like what Nathan said, kind of just email is personally for me just like for school because it's required, and I think we can all kind of testify to that. Email is just not a thing that we use because it's, you have to log in and do all the, not that it takes a long time, but anyway, I think just calling your son would be more direct. I don't really push my mom off when she texts me. Because it's either something that's important, like if she texts me during class. And so as far as like getting a hold of your kid, it's like, I'm calling you for a reason. I'm not just trying to bug you, I guess. And so it's like, yeah, change your ringtone, change your, like, your vibe, your text, your bing on your phone, so that he knows that it's you and that you're trying to contact him. But yeah, text or phone call, don't try and do all the social media stuff. Just use the basics.
I don't have that complex of situations, but definitely in school, know your kid's schedule, because I know for my school we have 6-minute passing periods between classes, and there's been multiple times that my mom has called me while I'm in class, and then I'll have to like decline the call. I'm like, oh, my phone's going off, and then the teacher will be like, Nathan, give me your phone. And so I'd have to go and give me the phone, and then I don't have my phone for the rest of the day until I go back after school. And then my mom's like, why'd you ignore, like, I called you like 7 times. And I'm like, I was in class, like, what? And then she took my phone away. Yeah.
On your iPhone, there's a calendar app, and we share our calendar, and so you can do it, share it with your entire family. And we've, like, I have 3 older brothers, so I have a fairly big family, and we all had fairly busy schedules, so we kept the calendar together. Even though they're all off of college now, we still have our calendar together, and it sends every person updates like 30 minutes before this happens to make sure you get there. Or and also, like, in the morning, mom will be like, oh, don't forget you have this today. That's just basic little reminders.
Obviously, the first like thing that pops into my mind when you think drawbacks is distraction during whatever it might be. Like, if you're in an important setting where you're not supposed to like be on your phone or be considered rude, and your phone goes off and you're like, oh, I have to check that because maybe you did set your ringer to be something important and it's your mom, and you check your phone, and then it's just a drawback because people think like you're rude or something, but it could be important.
Is it common for 15, 16-year-olds not to have an Instagram account?
It can be pretty common. Some parents think that, like, some parents hear stories about Instagram or Snapchat from other, like, parents, but it can be a safe place if, like, the kids can follow the right people, like their friends only, put it on private. There are just some people that abuse it, and like use it for not appropriate things. Most kids, but again, family choice. So
I'm definitely the youngest in this group, but since I just got out of middle school, I knew that a lot of my friends had phones, social media before they were the age that they were supposed to have it, like the legal age you have to be to get the app, but their parents still let them have it, and I always thought that was weird. But like, as long as you're the age the app tells you to be, at least, and you keep your account like on private, and you, I only follow people I know or people from my school, so, or like let them follow me, and like I feel like that's safe. But if you go like, if you like let everybody look at your account and you follow everybody, I feel like that's not as safe as like keeping your account private.
Yeah, definitely. So, So my brother just bought his first smartphone, and the key was that is also for me is that I was about 13 when I bought my first iPod 5, which was just basically you can't call, theoretically the same thing as iPhone, and our agreement was is that you pay for the iPod, and that if you're going to get social media once you are in your freshman year of high school, which is our requirement for my brother and myself, well my brother now. Take a social media once he's a freshman in high school, is that if you get Instagram or Facebook or any of those, well, not Facebook, but Instagram more likely, I am required to follow my father and my mom. My mom has her business page on Instagram, and so I'm required to follow her so that way she can see all my stuff. And it's just more of like a, not that she doesn't trust me, but it's just kind of like a standard that she gets to see all my stories. And it's also a way for us to kind of contact each other. So. We buy our own phones. If we want a smartphone, we don't ask mom and dad for smartphones. Nothing against that. That's just kind of how we grew up. If you want something, you work for it and you earn it, and then it's yours. So.
Yeah, and then I don't remember if I asked to make a social media like on Instagram, but once my mom found out about it, I gave her my password, and she only like 2 months ago logged out. And I changed my password. So she had my password for Instagram and everything, so she can like log in, like see the people I'm following, see the people who are following me, see like my messages, like et cetera. Like, so I think that you could do that with your kid, but definitely like there's a lot of younger kids that personally I don't think should have access, because there's like 9 year olds that have Instagram and Snapchat. But yeah, it's also very uncommon to not have those things.
I definitely say like my parents have full control over whatever's on my phone. They're allowed to look at whatever they want. I have to follow them on every social media, even if it's like Facebook. But they don't look at my phone because they trust me. They say as long as we trust you, we don't need to look at your phone. But if we have some reason not to trust you, we are fully allowed to look at your phone. So they know my phone password, all my social media passwords, my Apple password, iCloud password, everything. Like, it's all on my dad's laptop. He has it all.
So when you're following, like, let's say the parent has, or you have Instagram, parent has Instagram, you guys are following each other. You guys can still have sub accounts, right? So if you have a sub account, parent can't follow that unless you're tied into that sub account, right?
Like a second account? Yeah, like some kids have like a spam account.
So
you can.
Way of checking, I mean, really, you know, being aware of that, you have to look at your kid's phone, basically, to know everything. Because there are ways that you can.
Yeah, but they can also follow that account if.
But you have to.
Okay. Yeah.
I personally don't see the need in having an extra account. I have my own account. It's good enough. But I have friends who have like 3, 4, even 5 accounts, and they make more every time their parent finds the account. And I just don't see the reason in that, but I do know that some kids do it.
Okay. And you guys have all your accounts private? Is that
yes.
Something?
Yes, I would recommend that, yeah.
So some of you mentioned like younger kids you don't feel like it's safe for. What would you say is the ideal, I don't know if ideal is a good word for social media, but is there an age where like middle schoolers, I have 3 middle schoolers,
I mean, like, in, like, seventh grade, not many have social media, but, like, as they get older, more and more people get it, and, like, more and more people are allowed. I think, like, Instagram's, like, legal age is, like, 13, so, like, they should at least be 13, but then, like, parents' choice, and, like at seventh grade, you don't really need it. You're gonna have, like, maybe, like, 20 close friend followers, but you're not gonna have many.
We had a big problem last year with bullying on Instagram through a send me honest opinions about people and I'll post it kind of account, which are stupid, but it got so bad that they had to like bring in the district police officers to pull the kids out of class and talk to them about it, because like it had gotten bad enough that one kid was threatening suicide, and it was just horrible. So yeah, like I would tell your kids don't follow, like, my school, it's, like, Northwood Middle School, or it was, and they had, like, Northwood, to be honest, Northwood crushes, Northwood, like, it was, just got really, there was so many of them, like, you typed in Northwood on Instagram, and at least, like, 30 popped up, and it was just, they just don't follow them, they're useless, and they make you feel bad about yourself.
So those things that she was talking about, they're apps, and, like, that you can set up an account and post, like, a link on like your story or in your like bio, and people can go in and type something. Just the thing is, it's anonymous, so that's why it could be really hurtful. Cause like people, it was designed so that people can get an honest opinion about themselves, but some people abuse it. So, yeah.
Honestly, I think it's more of like you should know your kid and know like their maturity level. Like I had an Instagram, I think my first post was late 2014 or something. It was like my first post, and looking back, it was really cringy. I was homeschooled 5th, 6th, and 7th grade, so I didn't really I had Instagram and stuff, but I had like 10 people because I knew like nobody, like I had 10 followers, like I knew nobody. And then because I remember thinking like, oh, I know so much about social media and I know so much about what people do and stuff, and sometimes I still like think that like right now, but I think I reached a certain level of maturity that I'm like, I think this, but I know that it's not true. Like, so I think it's, you should just know your kid and like where they're at maturity-wise in order to...
How would you give us advice on knowing how to assess whether your kids are ready or not?
You can tell a lot by your kids, by their friends, I'd say. Personally, I had a lot of friends that weren't, I don't want to say bad influences, but they definitely weren't helping me in any way. So I last year I cut all of them off. Like I stopped talking to all of my friends except for three or four. And I think that helped. Like when you surround yourself with good people and people you know that are going to help you and like help you mature in the right way, it can definitely help.
Kids might start thinking about it early, you know, like puberty and stuff, but yeah, they'll start thinking about it early, but they probably shouldn't be really dating till like older, and like when they're like 13, they might have like a crush and it might be like cute or whatever, but they don't really know what they're doing really, so it's not, yeah, so they shouldn't be dating till they're like older.
I had the older sibling situation, and they all had like really, really bad relationships at young ages. And so I am, all my friends are like boy crazy, like there's a new guy every week and it gets really annoying. And I just kind of like, push them away, like, okay, I'm done. Can we talk about actual school now? So I've avoided it, but my friends haven't. They all say like their first boyfriend was in like fifth grade, and I'm like, that doesn't count at all. It's not a thing. That's called a crush. But I'd say like they want to start in middle school, but they shouldn't.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very common thing now.
Like you don't really need to go with a date. Like most, because those things are just like fun. So you want to go with friends just for a good time. Like of course, if you have a date, then you can go. But it can just be fun. It doesn't have to be.
I know we have a question in the back row first. Yeah.
You can go. People went in groups to formal. Like there's winter formal. Like I went with a date, but we weren't dating. We were friends. She was one of my really good friends, and we both were like, hey, we don't have a date, like, and I want to go get like part of the high school experience or whatever you want to call it. And so we went as friends, and it was fun because you just like have a good time. Go mainly like in a group. Like some people will go in groups, but still have dates within that group. I feel like they have given me a strong sense of self-confidence and being able to deal with criticism. And I think bullying depends on how you take it, because a lot of people bully for the reaction, I think. And I learned a lot from my older brother and his mistakes and what he did right. And some people don't have that, so some people have to learn. Like, if you're the oldest, you have to learn by yourself. But I'm a lot more independent from like my parents or from anybody. I'm more like secluded to myself, I think, because I like see what my brother does, and I see like how he took things and how he reacted to things and how that like affects you and him now.
My parents were pretty protective. Like I wasn't really allowed social media that much till like recently. But there are ways to like avoid it. You can shut it off and like deactivate your account or something. But I forgot where I was going with that. You can avoid it, but you can't stop people from doing it. You can avoid it. That's like a dangerous. Yeah, it's your choice to be on Instagram, so you don't have to be. You can delete the app if you really feel like you're getting harassed or something.
Also, another thing with cyberbullying, like bullying over the internet, I've never found that was ever an issue in like my own personal life, because if someone says something, I'm like, okay, and then I'll turn off my phone, because a lot of people will harass you like over the internet, and you have the choice of turning it off and going playing with friends or like blocking that account that's doing that, or turning your account on private, or and then a lot of the people don't have, they'll talk the talk like over social media and stuff, and then they won't say anything to your face. So I've never found that, like in very rare cases I know that cyberbullying turns into physical bullying, but it can definitely affect like mental health on developing kids like me.
Also, if a kid, usually cyberbullying, if you like don't respond, they want the reaction. So if they're not getting the reaction, most likely they'll stop. But it usually keeps going because the person fights back and says something back, and so it spurs even more, and then even more hateful things can be said.
Yeah, like I personally feel like I was raised very self-confident in myself and who I am. So when someone says something, I'm like, okay, like I just brush it off, and then I've never had like a problem, which I know a lot of people can't. Like I understand some people have, like they take what other people say, like random strangers, to heart. But like, and a lot of times kids don't like to open up to their parents because they feel like, you grew up in a different generation, you don't understand, like you don't know what I'm going through. Like, and I've personally felt like that before. Like I've personally felt like I can't go to my parents, like they wouldn't understand or something. But I have before, and I can definitely say that it helps. But sometimes when you like, if I can give advice to you, like I'm not telling you how to parent, but like as a kid, just see like, you can see small changes in their behavior, and as a parent, I think you'd notice that, like, because it's your kid. So you see like very small changes, and like ask them like, hey, what's up? Like, something happened at school today, or like, can I see your phone real quick? Like, I just want to go through your message to see if like anyone, like something's wrong or anything like that.
To go off of that, I find it a little bit annoying when my parents say like, I know about what you guys are going through. You guys were all teenagers at one point, that's a fact, but you guys were teenagers like a long time ago, or not too long ago, I don't know, but not in the same, you're not, yeah, oh God. You're not in our generation, so like, you don't know everything about like what we're going through now. You guys went through puberty and stuff, but like not with as much technology and stuff like that. So I think you guys shouldn't be telling them like what to do, but listening, and then you can make judgments based off what they're saying. But yeah, don't tell them that you're always right, because it's also annoying, so yeah. Just.
I know we had a question right here.
I'd say I never really felt comfortable talking to my parents about things like that. Just like I said before, I've always been more independent than, like, my brother's 19, and he's always been, like the parents. It's definitely not a favorite child, but definitely the child that, like, calls after work and be like, tell him how his day was and stuff. And I'll get off of school, and I'll walk home, and they'll be like, how's your day? I'm like, good. And then I'll go upstairs, and I'll keep to myself. And I still don't know if I have talked to my parents about, like, emotional trauma and stuff like that. But I never, I still don't think that I'm fully, like, ready, if that makes sense, to talk to them about it. Like, yeah.
How about them to you, like, conversations they've initiated with you about the hard things that come up to you? Do you guys have those conversations?
I've had some with my parents. I don't think we're ever going to be, like, fully ready, like, until, like, maybe, like, adult, when we're adults. But, I don't think we should force it at such a young age. But you should definitely talk to them about it at some point when they're probably older, or if they ask. But, yeah, we're never going to be fully comfortable. Like, it's always, like, kind of weird with your parents. But it's always going to be like that, I think.
I've gotten all the conversations I've definitely gotten them, but I feel like it's forever gonna be awkward. Like, you can't look your parents in the eye and talk about that stuff. It's just not gonna happen. I'm gonna look down, and you can talk to me, but I'm gonna look at the floor. Yeah, the car is a good place. So you have to look straight ahead, yeah. But they're definitely good to have, but don't make your children look you in the eye. That's just gonna make it horrible.
My parents told me their story, like, and it's like cute to know, but I mean, like, if they come home with a boyfriend or girlfriend, maybe you can tell them your stories, just like so they can know, or if you don't like their significant other, but you should talk to them a little bit about it, but again, it's probably not going to be the most comfortable thing.
I love hearing my parents' stories. I think it's really funny because I get to laugh at them, and I don't normally get to do that. And my parents always say, if I'm telling you a story, you feel free to laugh at me. So I love hearing my parents' like stories, but like the funny ones, sometimes the serious ones, but not the ones that'll make you feel awkward, kind of. Like those ones, you can figure out yourself.
About 20 years ago, when I was in high school, the drug climate was overwhelmingly marijuana. People who did drugs, that was probably just about the only drug that people did. If you did drugs, you did marijuana. And it was fairly common, both at my high school and my junior high, for people to be abusing marijuana. And my question today, what's the drug climate like in high school?
I'd definitely say weed or marijuana is definitely just as prevalent today as it was 20, 30 years ago.
Some kids feel peer pressure to like smoke or do drugs, but some kids do like juuling or like vaping, and that's like kind of the in thing right now, cause like peer pressure, but it's like, you can put like nicotine in there, or I don't know, but most people do it because they want to be cool or whatever. I don't know many people that just do it like, or they do it for the effect of like, you know, exaggerating your happiness or something.
I have a lot of friends who vape. That's a big thing. Like, I've had a lot of friends confess to me, like, hey, like, I'm not doing great, I'm vaping right now. And I also have friends be like, I don't do the nicotine, but I still vape. And that's, like, probably the biggest thing in middle school, I'd say, which is horrible, but it's still there. That's probably bigger with the younger group.
I think that's what they think. They think it's not like that bad, but like it's still pretty bad. And like if you can get like zero nic, but there's still a little bit of drug in there. But I mean, like some kids like is better than like Xanax or something, or like cocaine, or like even weed. But yeah.
I definitely did not like when vaping came out, I was like, I think that's better for you. And then I had the little science talk with my dad about how it works, and my dad's very logical. So whenever I have these type of questions, we go through and like, sometimes we even buy the thing so we can take it apart to see how it works, because that's just like how my family works. We're super logical people. but like I did not realize it was the same for you as an actual cigarette when they came out and were big.
Does the population in your school that does abuse substances, whether it's vaping or marijuana or alcohol, does that population span the entire demographic of your school, meaning there's kids in that group who are your straight A, they're on your ASB board, down to the kids who are like failing and how they show up and have disciplinary problems, or is it more kind of disciplinary problem kids, or kind of who's doing it?
I'd say it's definitely mixed. There's not really in a certain like group that does it. I know people who are straight A, like 4.2 GPA, like involved in three sports, like all seasons, who still abuse drugs. And I know kids who are F students, they don't care about school at all, who abuse drugs, even sometimes less than the doing more well in school kids.
I think it's more of your emotional level. I think if you're more confident in your emotions, you're less likely to do marijuana or vape. But if you're more insecure, that's probably a way to get away from your insecureness. That's what I've been told by my friends who do it. They say, like, I'd be like, okay, so I'll talk them through, and they'll be like, I'll be like, so what made you do this? They either say peer pressure or insecurities are the two big things that push kids into it.
She was talking about emotions, and that might be one of the reasons why like the straight A students do it, because maybe they have lots of stress and like pressure to get the straight A's, but they need like to get like nicked for a couple hours or something.
I know we got a question right back here, and then we'll work our way over.
I'd say it's mainly marijuana. I know, I think, two kids at my entire school that have done anything more than marijuana. Or I'd say alcohol is just as prevalent though, as marijuana or weed.
Alcohol, not on campus, but, like, a lot of kids, yeah. Yeah, but the most prevalent on campus is probably juuling, vaping, and then sometimes weed. But most kids that like are known to do it, like at my school, do it like off campus, just so they don't get like caught.
I feel like on campus like is more of the adults. I actually see a lot of adults in my school parking lot because I live across the street from my school, so I can see the parking lot from my house. And I'll be walking my dog, and there'll be like three people there smoking. And it's just kind of like you have to try to avoid them, but I have to get around the back of the school to walk my dog. So I have to like figure out a way to stay like 20 feet away from them without looking rude. So that's, I feel like it's not as much kids as it is adults on the campus.
I know we got a question right here.
So you guys are all graduate, you guys all finished middle school, is that right? So what were some things that your parents did with you during the middle school that you really particularly stuff that they did with you and maybe your friends? Like, how do you think your parents can engage you guys with your friends?
I think traveling during middle school especially is good because, like, I know, like, now I just finished my freshman year, and that was a crazy year. Like, we went on, like, one trip, and it was for, like, a week. I didn't have time for that because I play, like, sports. School's always hectic. Traveling, is definitely a good one. And like even just like day trips with that you can bring friends along, that's good to take them away for a little bit.
My parents aren't home when I go home from school because my mom is in college to be a school counselor, so she's often out at a school like observing, and my dad gets home at like 6 p.m. So my parents have told me as soon as I started middle school, they said, bring a friend over if you want. I don't care if you bring a friend over, just text me before you leave school, so I can tell you if it's not a good day. But like, honestly, like just bring a friend over whenever and hang out. And then like, if it's a warm day, my parents will take us to get like a Slurpee at 7-Eleven. Or if it's a cold day, we'll go and get like Starbucks hot chocolate. And it's just like going out is fun. Doesn't even matter where. Like sometimes I just take my friends to the grocery store when my parents are getting groceries because you don't want to leave your friends.
Also, looking back, I think it's really cool. They allowed me to be independent a lot, so I can like learn by myself some, but they're always in the back supporting and helping me along the way, which I think helped me grow a lot as a person, because I didn't feel like I'm like trapped, and I don't feel the need to like, because I feel like most kids who do abuse drugs, like we were talking about earlier, felt like, oh, they're tied down by their parents. They're like, oh, I can't do anything. Like, I need something to escape. No, I've always been like very free to do whatever I want, as long as it's not like something crazy. Like, yeah. So allowing me to be independent, but also while kind of them are always in the background, like supporting me, like catching me if I fall, and like telling me, like if I mess up, they're gonna sit down, they're gonna talk to me, they're gonna explain how I messed up and how that, how I can learn from it and not do it again.
We've got time for two more questions. We'll go right there.
Like at my public school, we talked about religion a little bit, but the teacher's not really supposed to go like too much into it. You're supposed to learn what it like the what the religion is and like stuff like that, but they're not supposed to like get political with you or get like into super religious talks, because it could be offending another religion or another race in the class.
The last unit I did in history class was the medieval unit, and we focused a lot on early Christianity and Islam. And there was a lot of talks about the Crusades, and like they said things like, oh, Christians went and they actually killed an entire city of Christians. It's historically true, this happened. And you hear about this stuff from school, and it's not really in a church aspect, which kind of like you doubt it for a second, like, whoa, that actually really happened in history. But I feel like it's not very conflicting. It's a little conflict, but it's not super conflicting. They mostly don't talk about religion in schools.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to have a Christian history teacher, but he always stayed, I want to say on the fence, but he always stayed neutral. So he never pushed his religion on other people, and he never badmouthed like other religions. He taught what he was supposed to taught what he was supposed to teach, and he did it thoroughly on both sides of the fence. So I think there's not, for me personally, I didn't have that much conflict between what I was taught and what I believe.
We've got time for one more question. There you go.
My mom definitely comes up to me every day and says, just let you know I love you. You know that, right? And she's obviously has a joking tone to her, because she goes like, I wonder if I've told you that today. Or like, I don't know if I tell you that enough. Like, I hear it every day. She says it at least once a day. But I'm a very talkative person, so when she says that, I kind of get the, yeah, I can talk to her about this. But often, like, they don't push me on it, and if I'm not pushed on it, and then like the one time I'm like seriously looking sad and they go, oh, what's up? That time I will like be like, this happened. But like if you push them on it a lot, then when it's actually a hard time, they're not gonna say anything. But if you don't do it when it's like a normal day and they're not acting any different, but you do it when they're acting different, then they'll probably open up. But I will, I don't know about other kids.
Personally, this is kind of, this might sound dumb, but like it's like a mood, like depending on my mood. If I'm in a bad mood, I don't really want to talk about it, especially when like if I'm constantly asked like what's wrong. But if if you catch me in a good mood, then I might like tell you all about my day. But I don't know, that's just me.
And then I'd also say it's not, you can't expect to start talking to your kids about that stuff and expect it to be instant. I'd say you have to, there's a lot of building up in order to gain your kid's trust to for him or her to open up and talk about that things, because a lot of the times it's really hard to talk about. But I'd say don't get frustrated to be like, oh, what am I doing wrong as a parent if my kid doesn't want to talk to me, but I know something's wrong. Just try to come at it from an understanding angle and be like, he's going through something right now, and just let him know that you're there for him or her. When he's ready, he'll come and talk to you, or she will.
Yeah, kind of what Nathan said. I personally always want to necessarily talk about parents, not because I have anything against them, just because processing stuff, it was a long practice, I had work after practice, and then I just got home and I'm hungry or something, and so there's a lot of just going through adolescence, all these emotions, and just like, good one day, pissed off the other day, it's just a lot, you don't know what's going to happen. And so I'm not always necessarily pushing them to get something out of them, but I do really think that I realize that my mom is just there when I want to tell her something related to school or just a question or something. And so just be available when they do want to talk to you, because I think those times are really special. That's a chance for you to really connect with your kid. Yeah, if you kind of see that they don't really want to talk, just kind of maybe tomorrow morning at breakfast something might come up, like, it was a good practice. Hit the coach in the face with the volleyball. It was super fun. I don't know. They made us do a lot of push-ups. That's why I'm pissed off and tired and just sore. There's so many variables that you can't really kind of figure out. And so just be there for them when they're ready to open up to you. So, yeah.
Well, that is all the time we have. First, let's give a hand up to our students. Thank you, guys. I am just impressed by just each week, your maturity and just level of understanding of just yourselves and being able to kind of share about your experience. And I understand that it takes a lot of courage to sit here and face a group of parents much like your own, and to share your experience and to share what you think, what you know. And so thank you guys again. Everyone else, you are free. You are released from any bondage you might be in, and we'll see you later.
I was going to say one more thing. If you guys do have like another question that pops into your mind, I don't know, I don't want to speak for them, but for me personally, like, if you have another question, you see me around, don't be afraid to stop me. Be like, hey, another question popped into my mind. It's like, what about, just like, I'm not a shy person, so.